it's going to be interesting to see if there is compounding effect to rates, because not only are they going to be raised by the Fed funds rate going up, but they're going to be raised by the devaluation of bond, the oversupply of bonds, which then devalues the bonds and the rate goes up.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode. Today is another solo show. Every Friday, we go into finance tips, strategies, just kind of what's going on in the world, both solo shows and interviews. I got some interviews coming up for Finance Friday, but today is another solo one. And we're going to talk all things stagflation. I'm sure you guys have heard this going around the news, on social media, all over the place, stagflation. And I just want to dive into it, like what it is, where we've seen it in the past, and is this something we really need to worry about? I see this word getting thrown all over the place. I realize a lot of people don't really know what it is. Before I do that, as you all know, there's only one fee to this show, and that's if you found value, please share this with someone else you think it could find value. Post it to your social media accounts. Reshare. Let someone know they could also get value from this show. And if you haven't left the rating review, I would greatly appreciate that. All right, let's get into it. So what is stagflation? So it's actually a combination of two words, stagnation and inflation. And it was used in the UK. And they were experiencing high inflation and slow economic growth with high unemployment. And so it's essentially stagnation of the economy with really high inflation. And so we also saw this in the US in the 1970s. This was when oil exporting countries in the Middle East actually cut supplies to the United States and other countries that had ties and were supporters of Israel. And so there was a supply shock of oil. So inflation skyrocketed because, as we all know, and as we all are experiencing right now, energy and oil has ties and its hands into essentially everything of the economy, from producing goods, providing services, food, distribution, obviously transportation. Every oil has a tie into everything, and will, if you don't already have inflation, will cause inflation with extremely high oil and energy prices. And as you know, we've already had a shock to our system with what happened in the pandemic, which led to manufacturers, businesses shutting down, which then halted production of goods. And then when the economy opened, people wanted to buy those goods and buy more. And then we saw also the effect of kind of like a scarcity mindset where people weren't sure if they would be able to buy it the next day. And that just compounds inflation, right? Because people are buying more than they normally would buy in order to stockpile from that scarcity mindset. And we're seeing that right now too, with prices going up, people are buying more now thinking that it's going to cost more in the future, which then just ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because you're afraid prices are going to go up, inflation is going to increase, so you buy more now, which then inevitably causes that to happen. So we're in that conundrum, that vicious cycle right now. But what we aren't necessarily experiencing at the moment is high unemployment. We're still very low unemployment, and we haven't really seen a pullback in growth, which, at least not a significant one, but I do see that coming, right? Economists do project it to slow down quite a bit. So where does that leave us? And what happened in the 1970s? Well, how they got out of it in the 1970s, which is another name I'm sure you've been hearing a lot lately, is Volcker, right? Paul Volcker, then the head of the Fed, increased rates drastically. I believe they got up to around like 18, 19, maybe even 20% in some markets, but around 18% they were increased to. And this is what helped get them out of stagflation, because when you raise rates that much, it really reduces the demand for any type of credit, any type of borrowing, because not very many people can really afford an 18% interest rate. And then it drops prices, right? Because there's less demand. So prices follow. And I don't see our Fed doing that, because there is way more debt, both from a government standpoint and from a consumer standpoint, than there was in the 1970s. So I don't see rates going that high. And on top of that, the Fed announced that they're also another part of their quantitative tightening. So we were in quantitative easing before, where interest rates were being reduced and they were low, and the government was buying bonds, which then put more money into the economy and drove up bond prices, because as you buy obviously greater demand, right? So bond prices go up. And we all know that bond prices, there's an inverse relationship between bond prices and interest rates. As bond prices go up, interest rates on those instruments go down. So this is going to be the interesting thing that we see happen now with quantitative tightening, where they're actually going to be selling bonds into the market, not no longer buying. They're going to be selling those bonds back. And what's going to happen is it's going to drop bond prices, right? Because there's going to be more supply in the market than there is demand. Just like in basic economics, anything, when there's an oversupply, not a lot of demand, prices go down. And so what's going to happen here is then interest rates are going to go up because of that inverse relationship. This part is really going to be interesting to see what happens, because we're already having interest rates go up because the Fed is moving the Fed funds rate, which then has a trickle down effect into the market, right? And now it's going to be interesting to see what happens. This is kind of, in my opinion, obviously, no one really knows what's going to happen. Let's be honest. Everyone just makes an educated guess. And my educated guess, this is kind of like the teetering point, right? Because rates are already rising. And once they start putting bonds back into the market, selling them back in the market, it's going to be interesting to see if there is compounding effect to rates, because not only are they going to be raised by the Fed funds rate going up, but they're going to be raised by the devaluation of bond, the oversupply of bonds, which then devalues the bonds and the rate goes up. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens there. Now, there is another school of thought that we're not going to stagflation, but what they call slowflation, and how it's just funny how they keep coming up with terms. And I think it's more that these companies come up with these terms because they're worried about their bottom line. When I say companies, financial institutions, they don't want to scare the market too much. So it's slowflation. They it's based on high inflation, mid to high inflation, and mid to low growth. So it's not low growth, which would be in a stagflation environment. There's a school of thought that thinks we're in more of a slowflation. But I think it's really going to hinge on what I was talking about in terms of the second part to quantitative easing, when they're going to sell bonds back into the market. And then also geopolitical risks is another factor. The war that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, that's going to be really interesting, because that puts pressure, obviously, on the oil market, fertilizer, and then obviously puts down to food, right? And then also just supply chain, right? That's the biggest, one of the biggest things that is up in the air, in my opinion, because is there really end at sight? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to this? It seems like we can't get under control. The fact that the world shut down, we still haven't been able to catch up to that supply that was not being produced during that time, because then the demand came back immediately, but these manufacturers and producers were already behind. You haven't even caught up to that. And the fact that there is that compounding effect of people worried about inflation and prices continuing to rise, that they actually buy more than they need now because of fear of rising prices and inflation in the future, then it just exacerbates this whole supply chain demand issues. Those are the things that are really going to be the kind of catalyst to what could happen in terms of stagflation. I think we'll know better Q3 to Q4 of this year. Nothing really happens when there's about to be elections. So it's certain they kind of wait to make any type of drastic changes in terms of policy until they know their seat is secured. So one, I think it'll be interesting to see that time of year, if any changes are being made, and also if the supply chain has kind of corrected itself, or not corrected itself, but made some headway. I don't see it correcting itself until earliest, I would say sometime mid next year, unless inflation does continue to climb and we kind of fall into this more of a recession, stagflation, where people are not going to want to consume as much. Other than that, I don't really see the supply chain thing correcting itself until later next year. So then what it's really going to come to is, what is the Fed going to do? They originally stated they would be raising rates at every meeting, equated to about 7 times. And we've raised 3 times, so that leaves 4 more times. It's really going to be interesting to see if that happens and when they start pulling back. I've mentioned this before, that if you look at the forward curve, it originally had projected that rates would rise till the end of through 2023. And then in Q1-ish in 2024, rates would start to be pulled back. I just wanted to get on here and share this with you all, just to let you know what stagflation is. It's definitely something we don't really necessarily want to go into, because you never want to see a time where there's high inflation and really low growth and high unemployment. Nothing good comes of that. And I think it's really going to come down to if we can get energy prices under control, if we can get somewhat of a hold on the supply chain, and then if people can just not act out of a scarcity mindset and compound the issue, buying more than they need now due to fear of something in the future that may or may not come, but then ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy because they create it. And if we can get it all depends where, if rates, by increasing rates, it really can slow down some of it. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. As always, next week, I got a great guest for you on Finance Fridays. Before I let you go, I also wanted to mention that as this is a finance episode every Friday, that the Dow just had its worst 6-month start to a year since 1962. The NASDAQ, its worst ever. The S&P 500, its worst since 1970. When there's change and uncertainty, yields opportunity. So I'm not on here to make you nervous or scared. It's just you need to know the facts. You need to make educated guesses because opportunities will present themselves in these times. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in as always. And remember, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So always remember, it's not just working hard for your money, but having your money work hard for you. All right, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.